All right, guys, welcome to Let's Talk Hockey Week 2. I'm Jordan Jennings, and next to me I've got Brandon Parker. He can be reached at NHL Analyst. I'm Jennings4 on Twitter. We record weekly every Friday, so let's talk about what's going on in the NHL. One team that made a couple moves.
Let's talk about Pittsburgh first. Yeah. And, they're nice point streak right now.
14 straight wins, and they just keep getting better.
They just have to win against the Islanders, Saturday night? And they'll be the first NHL team in league history to ever win.
A perfect month. That'd be pretty cool. Let's talk about their trade. The trade deadline's on April 3rd. But Pittsburgh's starting the ball already. They're getting going. They've traded for 3 players. Haven't given up any roster players, so they're 14 winning streak with the same players. The other just added more players. They added Brendan Moore from Dallas, Douglas Murray from San Jose, and Jerome McGinley from Calgary.
Taking all of Boston's heat. Took Morrow and took McGinley away from them. How mad are they right now?
I know when we were watching the announcement, everybody, I'm pretty sure everybody in the world was watching Jay Feaster announced Boston, and then when he said Pittsburgh, the whole world just kind of went what?
Crazy.
Yeah.
No one knew. Even the TSM
websites. Nobody had any idea.
Jerome McGill on the way to Boston. But then, what? Big surprise. Screwed so many people over, but.
No doubt. That's a huge trade for Pittsburgh. Crosby finally has line mates to play with. That's pretty cool.
From the Olympics in Canada. Pretty nice for them. Hopefully, I don't think he'll be Kunitz, Ginla, Crosby, Malkin.
I think Dupree will get kicked down to the third line.
Probably, yeah, with Brendan Morrow.
Yeah. All right, so we're just going to go over the exact trades for what Pittsburgh traded. So first for Brendan Morrow, Pittsburgh acquires Brendan Morrow and a third-round pick for an exchange for one of their top defensive prospects, Joe Morrow, and a fifth-round pick.
And then Douglas Murray. They got Douglas Murray for a second-round pick in 2013 and a conditional second-round pick in 2014. And then for the Flames, Jerome McGinley, they traded Kenneth Agostino, Ben Hanowski, and a first-round pick for 2013, which is, I think, a giveaway. They just got him for nothing, pretty much. Yeah, you know he's a rental player.
Two college players. And the first pick's good, but if you're finishing, if you've got the 29th or the 30th pick in the league, not really that.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a weaker draft here, too.
So. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't think Jay Feaster got as much as he should forget. I understand he's a rental, but you still think you should have got a little bit more than just those two
players. And they still have cap space, eh? Oh, I think they're going to do another trade. I think they're somehow going to make a huge trade that everyone's going to be like, what happened?
No doubt. If you guys are wondering how Pittsburgh can afford this, they have a couple players that are highly underpaid, shall we say. Letang is making actually $3.75 million. So for a top scoring defenseman, he's got 28 points this year. That's
28 games played.
Yeah, he's a point per game player. That's huge. That's great dollar amount for a player. And they also have Brandon Sutter at $2.1 million a year. So huge third line for him. Wins a lot of faceoffs, right hand shot. Those are two huge players for Pittsburgh that make less than just under $6 million combined. So
save a lot of cap room.
No doubt, it totally does.
Like, I don't know. Like, who else do you think they can get? Like, I have no
clue. I think if they were going to do anything, I think they'd just be a little depth players here and there.
For defense, I think. I think they'd get third line defensive
player. Yeah, for sure.
It would be
a really strong penalty killer.
Yeah, like, they have $4.2 million cap space still, so, like.
No. I don't think they're done. I think they're just going to retool a little bit, but I think Pittsburgh is definitely the team to beat.
Some people say it's going to break their winning record for adding a Ginla more.
I don't think so, no.
And break their lines and how it's going to be brutal, but I don't think so. I think it's going to make them even better.
They added one of the best captains in NHL history. He knows he's just going to go in there and do his thing.
They have 3 captains.
Yeah, they do.
They should have 3 season nights. That's all I need to do.
No, Pittsburgh is definitely doing well. So, all right, so we're going to talk about another team that's had a really strong week. Vancouver in the West. They went 8-2 this week. Still have Luongo sitting on the bench, though. So, April 3rd rolling around, people are wondering if he's going to move.
Oh, Schneider has 2 shots in 3 games this week.
Yeah, Schneider's played huge. And 1 goal again last night. Schneider's been pretty money for Vancouver lately.
I think it's Luongo's time. I think he's going to be drawn by the deadline for sure.
I don't know. I don't know. I think right now, especially with Ryan Miller saying that he wants, quote-unquote, saying he wants out of Buffalo, I think the goalie market's kind of
Yeah, but Toronto is doing so good, and they have so much to offer right now.
I don't think Toronto wants to wreck their lineup. Like, they're comfortably in a playoff spot. They're 6 points up on the final playoff spot right now. I really don't see Toronto trading for Luongo at the deadline. Maybe in the offseason, but I think right now Luongo remains a Canuck.
I don't know, but like, if they want to make a playoff run, there's no way Reimer and Strivan has the experience. Like, if you see them in games, they're not as inconsistent, and when they're in high pressure situations, they're not doing that great.
I agree, but the only way to get...
So that's why they need someone like Luongo.
I agree, but the only way to get experience is to play the games, right? So,
but still, like, if they want to make a playoff run, they have to.
I don't know. Toronto's played really well, and that brings me to another point I wanted to talk about. Joffrey Lupul has played money. He's been absolutely on fire since he came back. He has 4 points in his last two games, and he's one of the reasons Toronto's at 42 points right now. They said 53 points is about clinching playoff spot in the East, and Toronto's right there. They're
Pittsburgh's at 54.
Pittsburgh's pretty much in the playoffs. But like, if we're looking at the standings, like the Islanders, Carolina, like, ninth spot is, there's three or 4 point difference between 9th and 11th, but from the 9th spot to Toronto, that's 7 points. That's just under 4 games. So, and like, during those 4 games, I really don't think Toronto's going to go 0-4, so I think Toronto's sitting really comfortable. I don't think they wreck their winning lineup, especially if Vancouver trades Luongo. They want Bozak back. I don't see Toronto getting rid of Bozak.
I don't know. I personally believe they might, but...
We'll see.
I guess it'd be nice to see all four Canadian teams in the playoffs too.
No doubt. Right now we have all four in. Montreal's in. I really see Winnipeg winning their division, especially if Carolina's sliding.
Yeah, Carolina's in really, really well with Ellison Ward out. They have no chance. So
I honestly think we're gonna have all four Canadian teams.
Like, they're 6 points ahead of Carolina, who's second in the Southeast. I don't see Winnipeg somehow losing like a billion games. And
Carolina does have 3 games on Winnipeg. It's pretty strange that they have 3 games played, but again, with their goaltenders, I don't think those 3 games are going to matter much.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Winnipeg is going to be in, unless somehow Washington somehow wins the rest of their games.
Maybe.
With Ovechkin and Backlund on the same line, but I doubt it.
I think we're going to have some home playoff games at the MTS Center this year.
I can't wait. I'm excited for the playoffs.
No doubt. All right, so we're going to move on to our teams that we want to talk about this week. We each picked a team that has done well and a team that is on the slide. So, Parker, you want to talk about your two teams?
I took Penguins as my, well,
team to do well, yeah.
They were playing without Malkin and Letang pretty much the whole week, and they're still on their win streak of 14-0-0. They get it done every night. I don't know, and they just add depth with Ginla and Morrow and Douglas Murray. There's nothing much else you can say. That's my top team of the week. And then team that's signing is Carolina.
Yeah.
They've been doing brutal lately.
They're 2-7-1 in their last 10 games. I agree with that pick.
I thought they were for sure was going to make the playoffs.
I did too. I think Cam Ward really devastated them, and then when their backup got injured as well.
They're dominating. The Stalls were doing good. Salmon was doing good with his new contract. He was dominating.
Felik's been a really good defenseman for them, but he's also injured right now.
Ward and Ellis, yeah, like, they have Peters and Moose as their
goalie. If you take any team in the league and you take both their starter and their backup out, I'm pretty sure they're going to lose a couple games here and there. But Carolina,
I don't think they've won one since both Ellis and Ward's been out. Ellis has been doing decent. They've been winning them games, but like, now they're both out.
They're
nothing.
Seven on a 7-game losing streak, I think it is.
Yeah.
All right, so the team that I picked to do well is Vancouver. You have to consider, with Kessler being out all year, he came back for a week, but every player that didn't skate in the, or didn't play in the lockout, took 10 games or so to get their stride going. So we're not going to really count those 10 games. Also with David Booth was basically out all year, so that's 2/3 of our second line. And they're still 8-2, so I think Vancouver is doing really strong. I think Schroeder has been really well for their third line. So right now I have Vancouver as my team that's done well. Team that's sliding on the opposite, I have Colorado, who's gone 2-8 in the last bit. With all that abundance of youth, it's just as strange. Like, they have Landeskog, Duchesne, O'Reilly, so many young players that are just unperforming. I think Colorado is definitely the team on the slide last week.
Yeah, I don't know. Somehow they're almost what left a tie in points for last in the league with Florida.
Yeah, with Florida. That's
with Florida.
When you
have 10 huge key injuries right now, you should never be tied. I'm sorry. Like, but Florida and Colorado should not be that low in the standings. Right
we got a tweet during the week that some guy mentioned while we were picking our teams for the week or games of the day. It's always good to mention Florida's a bundle of injuries, but we mention it all the time. So.
They've been injured for like the past like season.
Yeah,
the whole season.
Alrighty, so we're gonna move on to our scoring leaders now. So, leading points get in the NHL. Still the same guy.
Sidney Crosby, 56 points, and then Kunitz is still there, second with 44 points.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Crosby's got a safe lead on Art Ross.
Yeah, he's for sure. And then Stamkos still leading the league with 23 goals. I don't understand how you have Stamkos, St. Louis, Le Cavalier, and your bottom of the league.
Honestly, I think it's their goaltending. Like, it was good on Yzerman to go take a risk, but I just don't think. I honestly don't think Lindback's the answer. I think he struggled.
Conager is doing really good.
Yeah, for sure.
Amazing rookie, but they need depth. They have no depth. They need.
Yeah, especially with Dominic Moore. He's been out. They lost Bergenheim.
They need wingers. Like, they only have St. Louis and LeCavalier, and they're getting old. They need younger wingers.
I agree. One guy that surprised me on the goal list is John Tavares. He's one of the reasons the Islanders have been on a tear lately. He's second in the league for goals at 21. And then again, we have Chris Kunitz playing with Crosby.
With a shooting percentage of 25 or 24.
Yeah, 1 in 4 pucks he shoots goes in.
I wonder why. All of them cross.
And now they got a game less, so I think that line's going to be pretty much diamond.
And he's leading the league in plus minus with 27.
Yeah, no doubt.
Go figure, hey.
Alrighty, our goalie leaders for last week. We have Craig Anderson, still leading in both save percentage and goals against average.
I don't know if that's a fair assumption with him first, even though since he's been out for so long, right?
Yeah. So
I don't know. I would say... I don't know, Bishop.
Yes.
Well, I love second Bishop.
Speaking of Bishop, this is actually our fact of the week, courtesy of the TSN stat guy. The Senators' worst goalie in save percentage, Ben Bishop, he's at a 928 in save percentage. Really good. Really good.
Second in the league.
Yeah. He's second in the league.
And they want to get rid of him.
No. But just wait. The fact of the week, even though he's at 928 and he's the worst on the Senators, he's still better than the NHL's top four teams in save percentage in Chicago, Pittsburgh, Anaheim, and Montreal.
That's unbelievable.
That's crazy.
Just, why would you trade someone? They want to get rid of him. I guess they have depth, but Anderson's injured right now.
No, I know.
He's a perfect backup. He's making a lot of money either, one point something.
Anderson's coming back in a little bit, but I think they should hold on to him right now.
I believe. Maybe in the offseason, because he's been doing really good. A lot of teams are going to want him.
Yeah.
A lot of teams will want him.
The leader in wins. Finally, my poolie, one of my top picks in my fantasy pool, Marc-Andre Fleury is finally tops in the wins at 18, tied with Nick Backstrom in Minnesota.
I think who's underrated right now is Price. Carey Price. He's best goalie in the league. One of the best goalies in the league.
He's got a really good system going for him in Montreal. They're playing really strong defensively right now.
Exactly. I think he's one of the best goalies in the league.
He's been stuck in a bad situation for a couple of years. I agree.
If you played for, let's say, Pittsburgh,
I'd
be like, oh.
If he had a good team, like, a lot of people said Montreal last year was just down year. You're really seeing it. Someone pointed out to me last week, I think it was, Montreal, 2 years ago, in 2010, they were in the Final Four. 2011, they lost in Game 7 to Boston, which went on to win the Stanley Cup. And then last year was their off year. So their core is still intact for Montreal. Montreal's still doing well. And with Price playing better, one of the reasons
they had a little more depth, they could easily go in a far playoff run.
I agree. Just to finish off our scoring leaders or stats of the week, shutouts leader is still Pekka Rinne in Nashville with 5.
Holtby moved up to the list of 4, and Mike Smith. I can't believe Mike Smith might be moved, probably not by April 3rd. Well, obviously not by April 3rd, but he wants to be moved out of Phoenix. But
I don't see Phoenix turning. I personally don't. All right, let's move on to our power rankings for week 2. All right, so. It's March of the Penguins. It's pretty clear to everybody.
March.
Yeah, no, right? It's a little pun right there, but it's March. They're perfect in March, and they're 14-0, so Pittsburgh has taken our number one spot. They moved up one spot.
Montreal, they take our second spot with...
Our game of the week last week, our rivalry of the week, was Boston and Montreal, and Montreal was down 2 goals in the third, and Brendan Gallagher scored both. Second one with 8 seconds left. Won it in the shootout, actually scored the winner. So Montreal's had an awesome week.
Going 7-2-1, which is pretty good. Chicago stays at
Yeah. Third. So just to finish, Montreal has moved up two spots, and then Chicago's staying the same. Chicago's getting healthy, though. They're getting their guys back.
Yeah. And then we have Mini moving up two spots. They've been dominating the
Minis won seven in a row, yeah. They're on a... Right now, Minnesota's got a 9-1 record in the last 10, so Minnesota's doing really well.
Even though they're not third in the... Or not top of the Northwest right now.
But no, they do have a game on Vancouver, though. True. So hopefully... they continue their winning ways, and it's really good to see Minnesota do really well.
Uphill battle between both Vancouver and Mini fighting for that.
Third spot, yeah, for sure. Speaking of battle Mini and Vancouver, Vancouver takes our fifth spot. They've moved up four spots. We talked about them. They're 7-2-1. They're 8-2-0. Six-game winning streak. Vancouver's moved up, definitely. Number six, we have Ottawa, moved up two spots. Ottawa's playing well, the depth players are good.
Even with all the injuries they have, they're just proving the win. So yep. I can't wait to see all their injuries.
Come back,
have,
yeah.
Well, they won't have Carlson.
But Spezza's coming back, Anderson's getting healthy, he's a week away, I heard.
Anaheim has dropped six spots.
Anaheim is killing me in my pro lines. Anaheim is not the big bad team of the West anymore. They've dropped...
four straight, two to Detroit and two to San Jose, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, they dropped six spots, which... Surprisingly, is not our biggest dropper, but six spots is huge that they dropped from first to seventh. Yeah, for sure.
We have LA at number eight. They dropped three spots in the rankings. They've been doing solid, but other teams have been doing way better than them right now. So
LA has a record of 6-4 in their last 10 games. So yeah, not too bad. Not getting the overtime points. That's why a lot of other teams are ahead of them.
Then for number nine, we have Toronto, who's been pretty much outstanding.
Yeah, we talked about them. Lupul. It's great to see Toronto really do well, especially. Dealing with Brian Burke getting fired and seeing his team kind of come together.
Yeah, exactly.
They're picking up the overtime wins. They're 4-2-4. Overtime losses, right? So they're still getting points. Toronto's playing really well. So they take our ninth spot.
For number 10, we have Boston, who they've been slowly on the decline.
They're blowing a couple
sliding,
games.
They're sliding.
A couple fans have been frustrated with Boston, not only with losing a Ginlin, but losing games. Like, they had the 2-goal lead against Montreal. They could not close that out.
To see them play in playoffs, Pittsburgh and Boston would be huge rivalry.
Or even just Montreal and Boston, yeah. There are some good matchups in the East.
I can't wait for the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah, so Detroit takes our 11th spot with San Jose right behind them. So Detroit moved up two, but San Jose is one of our top increases of the week. San Jose has moved up five games. Yeah, or five spots, sorry.
Then we have Winnipeg in our 13th spot, moving down three, actually.
Winnipeg's played well. Just, unfortunately, other teams have played better, so that's why they dropped three spots.
In 14th, we have New Jersey, which moved up one. They've been doing pretty much the same as last week.
Yeah.
They have Broder back now, though.
Yeah, steady.
And then another person, one of our top increases, is New York Islanders, who's moved up to 15th spot and moved up five ranks.
Top line of Molson and Tavares has been really well.
They're in a playoff race right now, which is nice.
Yeah.
I think they might squeeze into 8th, depending on how the Rangers do. Because they have the 8th spot
true.
Right now.
That's very true. It's been a while since Islanders in the playoffs. Last time was in 2007.
And that 16th, we have Columbus, who moved up three. They had a pretty good run.
Yeah, no, they're still getting points. They are still actually playing well.
14 games, they have in 13 of the games, they got points, so that's solid.
They blew a game in Edmonton last night. They had a 2-0 lead early in the first and couldn't capitalize. So those games are solid. Tough. You need those games down the stretch.
Then at 17th, we have St. Louis, who moved down five. They were doing good, but then they got on a little slide.
Their goaltending has slid. Yeah, Jake Allen has not played well. They lost game to Vancouver. They got shut out to Edmonton. Those are good games that they need to win and just not getting it done.
At 18, we have the Rangers, who moved down two spots. And then
Rangers had a huge game against Philly, though. That was the Rangers of the old. Derek Stefan had 4 points in that game. Nash broke out. So you could see the Rangers in the rise. If they really want that playoff spot, they're gunning for it. Yep.
Then at 19th, we have Edmonton, who's moved up two spots, I think. Well, yeah, they've been doing solid. They're back to 500.
They're getting better. Yeah, they're getting better. I see Edmonton squeaking in. I see Edmonton getting in as the 8th seed, which would be a success for them.
I think they'll finish 9th or 10th because they're inexperienced and young. That they're not going to make it for that.
Dallas is at our 20th spot. They've moved down twice. Nashville, 21. They moved up. And Washington takes our 22nd spot, moving up 4 places. So Ovechkin has definitely played better of late.
With Backstrom and...
you're good at
together, yeah.
Backstrom, not Jay Beagle. No more Jay Beagle. No offense to Jay Beagle, but Ovechkin needs to play with Backstrom.
Phoenix is our only other team that never moved, sitting at 23rd spot right now. And then Buffalo moved up 4. So did Calgary moving up four, take our 24th and 25th.
Just want to talk about these two teams quickly. The trade rumors swirling around Miller and all the controversy about Buffalo, and the trade rumors in Calgary, even Jay Bouwmeester and Ginla, and even Kiprusoff. It's good to see that these teams are they're doing well. So that's why they've moved up four spots. They're winning big games. Calgary won against St. Louis at home. Calgary's been pretty well at home, I would say.
Yeah, considering they lost to Ginla now, I hopefully see them win a couple games.
But I don't
with
I,
losing to Ginla, that kind of killed a lot of
I think
of
that
spirit.
Puts the for sale sign up in Calgary. I think
they're, and then Kipper's still out. Yeah. Bouwmeester's still out. And they have two other guys that are supposed to be out. Like, there's this pretty much blowing up their team right now, which yeah. is...
Tampa takes their 26th spot down two, and that brings us to our biggest biggest decreaser of the week.
Carolina going down 13 spots.
We touched on Carolina for a bit. They're 2-7-1. Their goaltending's not been there. The biggest thing is they had a comfortable lead atop the Southeast Division, and they just dropped it. So that's why they dropped so low. They're in 23rd overall in the NHL, so that's why they're so far down.
Yeah, they've been just blowing it lately. Like I don't. If they don't have a goal thing back, they're not making playoffs.
Teams were averaging four in their 7-game losing streak. Teams are averaging 4 goals scoring against Carolina. You're not going to win many games when you're getting 4 goals against.
Unless they get their goaltending back, there's no way they're making the playoffs.
I don't see it. Final three spots. We have Philly down 3, and Florida moving up 1.
Florida went from 30th to 29th
because improvement for Florida.
Because Colorado takes the 30th spot, going down 3 and being tied in points with Florida, yeah. which should never happen right now, considering the injuries Florida has. And
not good. No, I agree. It's Colorado slipped. That's why. So that's our power rankings. You can tweet us at again Jennings4 or NHL Analyst if you have any comments, questions, concerns about our power rankings. Moving on though, we're gonna talk about our rumors of the week. Because we already mentioned our factor of the week. A couple rumors swirling around the trade deadline.
Oh, we have Whitney right now.
Yeah, everyone was talking about...
The huge Whitney in Boston one right now.
Because Boston was apparently getting a Ginla, they were... We've heard a couple, more so, not Lucic, we heard Horton, but people have been mentioning Lucic, big deal coming out of Boston. But if, again, I don't see them trading away one of their top players. They need that scoring.
They do. I don't know. Whitney, well, also Whitney and Hemsky maybe in a deal for Boston.
Maybe.
Because they can get more Oregon than
that. Yeah, I agree. They need that scoring. I do see Whitney going to Boston, though. He's from that area.
Boston wants him. Like,
yeah, and they need the defensive depth.
We won't get much from him, though. I think we'll get a second and third round pick. Possibly a prospect that's like a B-ish.
Maybe a second and a prospect.
That's what's probably going to happen.
Unless
Hemsky's in the deal, then we might get... A forward, power forward like Lucic, but we'd have to
I doubt they're trading Lucic.
We'd have to throw him much more.
And Magnus Garby's name's been thrown around. Jones has been mentioned. I don't see...
Jones.
He's a rental.
People want him, but I don't aren't going to get rid of him. They want to resign him. So does Smead, too.
Alright, so we're going to talk about another goaltender, not named Roberto Luongo. Ryan Miller has mentioned he struggled in Boston, Buffalo, pardon me. He struggled on and off the ice, comments, talking about his teammates, Coletta. He's actually recently given a list of 8 teams that he would not want to go in. We don't have the 8 teams, but we can speculate that, personally, I don't see him going to Colorado, Florida, Philly, Tampa, you know? Those are the bottom teams in the East. And in the league, I don't see him going to
You don't see him going to Tampa? I don't know, because he might see that.
Tampa would be the wild card for me. Because Tampa should be good, and I think they are struggling without a goalie. Tampa would be, if he wants to stay in the East, I could see him going to Tampa. I really could.
He's an elite goaltender.
He is. He's still
just tired of Buffalo. If you see
his demeanor.
He just has not focused. He's not focused.
He needs to
be moved out of there.
Yeah, I agree. Before it becomes a cancer for the whole of Buffalo.
He can make a team definitely go far in the playoffs and everything. So.
Yeah, some teams that we can see Buffalo go into.
Or probably what? Oilers, unlikely. Chicago, Boston. Who else do you think?
Boston's pretty good with Tuukka Rask, though. Team that I would personally see him going to is the Blackhawks. Blackhawks do need to go. I know Ray Emery's been lights out for them this year, but could you imagine Ryan Miller on the Blackhawks? They have a lot of talent. They could ship some prospects, some players over to Buffalo.
Even Toronto, if they don't get Luongo, they might be looking to even Calgary.
They've been kicking tires off. Yeah. Too. I heard recently that Kiprusoff would not report to a team because of family reasons. Something maybe along with his dad. His dad's sick. I don't see Kipper moving. But yeah, Toronto would be definitely
for Miller.
One team that would, if Jimmy Howard really doesn't work out, I could see the Red Wings making a push for Ryan Miller.
Definitely for an elite goaltender, yeah. And they could possibly get rid of Howard for something good.
And again, as we mentioned, the wild card is the Lightning.
They'd probably just trade Howard for a couple, well, maybe 7th round pick. We'll somehow get a good player out of that because they're somehow the best draft in the league.
Yeah. And then the Canucks. Canucks are looking for that third line center still. Brandon Dubinsky is from out of Columbus. One guy, Tyler Bozak. He is a rental, but Tyler Bozak. One guy that Vancouver is really stressing for if the fire sale goes up in Buffalo is Steve Ott. Vancouver asked for him last year at the deadline for Mason Raymond. Didn't actually get him, so they're still kicking tires on him. And then Luongo. So where will we see Luongo going?
Probably Toronto, if anything.
Toronto, that's only
real place.
Yeah, I don't see Florida.
If it's not by April 3rd, I think in the offseason it will.
Yeah, he wants to go to Florida, but yeah, it's Schneider's team right now.
Yeah, well, Luongo will be moved.
For sure. All right, so we're going to move on to our sports bets. We actually have two safe bets of the week. Saturday, March 30th, we have the New York Islanders at Pittsburgh. March of the Penguins concludes with this game. If they win, like Parker mentioned, be a perfect month in March. First time in NHL history. So go Pittsburgh for that one. That's what we're saying,
yeah,
right?
Let's go with Pittsburgh. I'm going to be betting on Pittsburgh probably for that one.
Crosby owns the Islanders.
Plus, Malkin's going to be back.
And
now.
Malkin and Letang. And Aginless should be in the lineup.
I don't know. It depends because he has to do cut, like,
yeah. All
his paperwork. So
but he should be in. He's expected. So we also have one other safe bet of the game.
Carolina, Montreal on Monday, April 1st. Montreal should walk all over.
Should, at home in the Bell Center.
Same with both injuries like we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, I see Montreal.
Montreal's been dominating, if they put price in it.
We have one other safe bet. This one was not iffy, but we still expect them to win. Tuesday on April 2nd, Buffalo is in Pittsburgh again.
Yeah, Pittsburgh should dominate that game.
Start off April well, yeah.
Considering how Buffalo is right now and how they're doing coaching situations.
Wild card with Miller, you never know if Miller could steal a game, though. So we have it there. Be wary if it's one of the four games that you... If you need a fourth game, you can look to it, but that's one for the pro lines. All right, games of the week. What do we got, Parker?
For a rivalry, we have Edmonton and Calgary. They play twice, actually.
Back-to-back, yeah, home.
Edmonton's at Calgary on Wednesday, April 3rd, and then Calgary's at Edmonton. In April 1st, so that's nice back-to-back rivalry. It might be different without Ginla.
For a team that wants to get into the playoffs, no offense to Calgary, but these are easy wins for Edmonton.
Especially with the Ginla gone.
Yeah, Edmonton needs these wins. I agree.
And Kiprusoff, I don't know if he's out still. He might be out for these games. Depends, because he's out
if they're
personal
reasons
still. Yeah. So going against Irving, like, easy goal. Like, they should dominate these two games.
I agree.
If they really want to make playoffs, you have to win.
You gotta make a push.
You've got to make those two games. There's so much going around Calgary and speculations that they're not focused. No one in the locker room is going to be focused in Calgary.
Yeah,
they're going to be out of the mind. Like,
Edmonton needs these games. So again, that was Wednesday, April 3rd and Monday, April 1st. Calgary at Edmonton on Monday and Edmonton and Calgary on April 3rd.
And there's not many games of the week.
Yeah, we couldn't really find one. We found one that usually offers a pretty good matchup.
Vancouver at San Jose on April 1st. San Jose's been doing hot lately.
Yeah, so and Vancouver's on a roll, so that should be a good game.
Otherwise, there's nothing really much to do.
No games of the week. Ironically, our games of the week last week were both on TSM. We had LA at Chicago, with LA scoring in the final minute, 6-5 final. And we also had Boston and Montreal, 6-5 final. So, hopefully...
Good picks of the week.
Good picks of the week for games of the week. I agree, Parker.
Hopefully taking our two or three games right there.
Yeah.
I think Oilers will win both.
I agree. And
then
I think
for Vancouver, I'll pick up the one.
I see Vancouver, yeah. All right, so let's go over our weekly records. For the week, I went 34-16.
I went 33-17, which brings my overall record to 102-61, which is not too bad.
And I'm still chasing Parker at 99-64, three games off.
Pretty close.
Yeah, operating at 61% picking. That's pretty good for predictions. All right, so that wraps up week two. Before we get to our close mark, we're just going to go over our tweet of the week.
This is funny. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm tweeting and I'm like, okay, I made a mistake in Jerome. So I put J-E, which was a dumb mistake. I'm like, whatever. I'm not going to go retweet anything.
Yeah, not a lot of people make common mistakes.
Next thing I know, I get a tweet saying, Jerome, J-A. So I'm like,
so I'll read you the exact tweet.
So I go to this person.
Yeah, at Puckstar underscore. That is P-U-C-K star underscore. She tweets, it's Jerome. Better She swears. We're not going to repeat that on the air, but she swore, if you can't spell his name right, you don't deserve him. And then she tweeted Parker, actually, correcting Parker on how to spell Joe McGinnis. So
I thought it was priceless. I didn't know what else to say.
We just laughed at it. No, it was pretty funny.
And then I made another tweet. I'm like, I'm like, that's what I thought.
Grammar Nazis, it's Twitter. You only got 140 views. I know you should spell it right, but what can you do sometimes?
Yeah, things happen. Never notice, but...
All right, so that brings us to the conclusion of week two. This was Let's Talk Hockey. I'm Jordan Jennings. I can be reached at Jennings4 on Twitter.
And I'm Brandon Parker. You can reach me at NHL Analyst. We're looking at 1,000 right here. I'm almost at 900 followers.
Also, Parker's got big news. He's just been accepted to blog for the Edmonton Oilers.
For Hockey Tracker, so check that blog out if you can.
We record our Let's Talk Hockey podcast every Friday. Again, tweet us, Jennings4 and NHL Analyst, if you have any questions, comments, concerns. All right, guys, enjoy the long weekend. Happy Easter.